found another hour of Good Day Health. Dr. Ken Kronhaus visits with us from his office at Lake Cardiology, his clinic in Florida. We have a lot of tidbits. I guarantee you that if you stick around with us, you will find things that you didn't know before when it comes to your health and well-being. Ken has a report continuing off and on through the hour, various things that are found in the journals of medicine over the past week, his analysis of them. Okay, somebody said to me, well, nobody said to me, but somebody asked me in a Twitter posting, which of the two doctors on the program do I like the most?
My gosh, which of your kids do you like the most?
Right. How do you say that? And I don't usually answer those questions with a note. I usually answer them on the air. The bottom line here is that Jack Stockwell and Ken Kronhaus have two areas of expertise. Once in a while, we have them on the air together to discuss a particular issue from their perspective. If your doctor says, sorry, well, if you want to know how Jack will handle it, you go to blogtalkradio.com/goodday health or wherever you listen to podcasts and find the answer. So now I'm going to ask Jack, Ken, the same thing. What should you do if you have to tell somebody that there isn't much time left? What do you advise them after you tell them that?
Well, let me just say, Doug, you know, I've been in practice 30 years,
yep.
And I rarely tell somebody that, because if you spend a week with me, you'll hear at least one and probably more of my patients come by and tell me about the doctor who told them years ago how they didn't have much time to live.
Right. Yeah.
And they will never forget that. They will make fun of the profession forever.
Yeah.
And doctors are really not that good about predicting that. Okay, you know, you're in the last week or two and you have some terminal illness and you know it's pretty clear, but that does happen. But then the patient already knows it and everyone knows it and it doesn't even have to be reminded. But what happens too frequently is that 6 to 12 or 18 months before the doctor thinks the patient's going to expire, they tell the patient, and then it never happens, and it's an incredibly awkward forever
oh
for life.
Oh, my God.
That
your
patient.
Life if somebody tells you're going to die, and then you're and worried about it for how you'll be dead in 2 months, and 3 years later, you're still alive.
And that happens way too often. That's why I almost never go where you're asking me, what do I do?
Mm-hmm. All right. I don't want you to go where you're not comfortable going, but you've explained well why you don't go there. And it is. But you know what it does? It underscores, Ken, something that you and I discuss frequently, the value of science and how science, because these people who are doctors would use science. They look at various reports and various things, the pictures and x-rays and MRIs.
And they're based on populations, but not an individual. And medicine needs to be individualized.
Yep. Right. So then, what value do all of these articles have in the various journals? For example, there's one from the CDC publication, Center for Disease Control, focusing on cancer and what causes cancer. So is this scientific? Is this to say that all people who have what's underscored in this case study are going to die of cancer?
Well, let's talk about what it is the CDC is bringing to our attention, because I think if you hear the details, you will be very eager to learn about this, and this will be part of your platform. Because while the rate of new cancer cases has decreased overall since the 1990s, Doug, you know that. We've been reporting that yearly.
Yep.
Increases in overweight and obesity-related cancers are slowing this progress. Being overweight or obese is associated with an increased risk of 13 types of cancer. The cancers linked to obesity include esophageal cancer, breast cancer, colon cancer, rectal cancer, endometrium, gallbladder, gastric, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, thyroid cancer, and multiple myeloma. These obesity-related cancers, they account for 40% of all cancers diagnosed, and 2/3 of the population is either overweight or obese. You're overweight if your BMI is over 25. That's when you're overweight, and you're obese if your BMI is over 30. So this is huge, and it's a huge way to decrease cancer.
So when you see somebody come into your clinic, Lake Cardiology in Florida, who's really grossly overweight, what do you tell them?
I ask them how long they want to live. I mention if it's a male, I'll tell them I've never met an obese 90-year-old male, mm-hmm. which is a fact. I'm still waiting to meet that first one. I talk to them about how long they can extend their life if they make an effort to try to lose some weight. And we talk about past failures. And I mentioned to them currently, you know, I lost 40 pounds in 2015. So I let them know in midlife it is possible. And I put myself out there.
Well, I think in order to demonstrate good medicine or good practice, you got to live what you're saying.
Absolutely.
You can't say it's not, especially with a doctor, you can't say do as I say, not as I do. That doesn't hack it with any.
The cardiologist smoking cigarettes in the front lobby is not the right cardiologist.
Ridiculous. Anybody in medicine, I get so disgusted when my friend Chris Walsh is going through this horrendous treatment. He's had three different trials to get rid of his lymphoma. None of them work so far. So he's been in the hospital two or three times, and I've gone in to visit him. And invariably, it's Brigham and Women's and in the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute in Boston. Invariably, I'll walk around the building to go into the vestibule to get up to the room. And there's somebody in a uniform, a nurse or some orderly or something wearing a blue scrub uniform, smoking outside. And I think to myself, I asked somebody once, and I've almost asked a couple of times, how can you work in a medical facility like this, a hospital, where you see people dying every day because they smoke and still smoke? I want to throttle them because that's what killed my mother. It's none of my business, but, it doesn't stop me. Sometimes.
And what how do they answer your question?
Oh, they'll tell me it's none of my business, or they're hooked on it, or it's not so bad, or,
Those are the usual answers.
Right, yeah. And it's basic bottom line, fear and ignorance. You get hooked on these things and you don't want to get fat or you don't want to. I mean, it's just ridiculous. It is. It's ridiculous. The excuses that people come up with. So anyway, this is the old beware word to the wise. 40%. Listen to what Ken told you. 40% of cases related to obesity and being overweight, cancer. Caused by fat.
Exactly. And you think you don't have any control over preventing cancer? Well, you do.
Yeah, of course you do. Okay, let's spend a minute talking about the sponsor for this hour of Good Day Health, folks at Super Beats. I have actually pretty interesting new information here from the folks at Super Beats. When you think about energy, that's one of the things that you've explained well, the opening up of the arteries. But how does it last all day long? The Super Beats, the nitric oxide that we get in the Super Beats, comes into our body. We know, we acknowledge getting that jolt, sort of, non-caffeinated. There's nothing there but just nitric oxide coming out of the beets, the powdered beets. So, if you think back to when you were in your 20s, like Kara, your body was, you had the ability to have good, healthy circulation, you could maintain it. But by the time you get into your 40s, the ability to do that decreases in half. And that leaves you feeling tired much of the day. So what do you do to increase your natural circulation? Listen to Ken explain how Super Beats works.
Well, there's three gases in the body, Doug. There's oxygen, carbon dioxide, and there's also nitric oxide. Most of us know about the first two, but we also need to know about the third. And the third one, we don't breathe in, we don't breathe out. Our body makes it, this gas, and the body needs to continuously make the gas. And if you don't have enough of it, your whole body won't function properly. It's a signaling molecule. It tells the body how to work properly. And more importantly, it also tells the blood vessels to relax, open up, let the red blood cells in so the oxygen can be carried from head to toe. Oxygen, if it's not present, you don't have energy, all of the tissues of your body won't function properly. So this is so important, fundamental for the body to work well, for you to feel well. This is based on Nobel Prize winning research discovered in 1988, awarded the Nobel Prize in 1998. And there's two products I want to tell you about, how to keep up your nitric oxide level, get the test strips, the saliva test strips, and if your level is low, Neo 40 gets your tank of nitric oxide up. And if you want a boost, instead of those caffeinated beverages in the middle of the afternoon, you're feeling a little tired, or before your workouts, the Super Beats is an excellent way to get a big boost of nitric oxide, and Doug will tell you how to get two of these great products.
All right, let's get on board now. Dial this number while you're thinking about it to take Ken's advice, 800-655-4183. 800-655-4183. Get started with your first order. You'll get a 30-day supply of Super Beats free. Plus, you're going to get one of those indicator strips that you were talking about, Ken, to see how the Super Beats is working. That's very important, and that's something new now that they hadn't done before. So if you want to measure the success of the program, and I have done this a couple of times. We've talked about it on the air. I've taken my measuring, and I take a Neo 40 capsule, and it goes zooming up, and then it goes away. So you need to perhaps approach it from a couple of different points of view. But get the first month free, plus the indicator strip free, free shipping, 800-655-4183 for Super Beats, a super body, super energy, super free of anything bad. It's all good. 800-655-4183 for Super Beats. Doctor is in. Dr. Ken Kronhaus is here practicing in Florida at Lake Cardiology. Don't let that stop you. We'll have our annual trek down to Florida to see Ken in December, and I suggest that those of you who want to really know what's going on in your body, if you can make it down to Florida, things are not bad. Actually, everything's pretty much cleaned up now.
They
from
are.
The hurricane, normal life, and there are great
mostly
things to see
up.
And do.
Still doing yeah. some of it, but... About 80% cleared up.
For the most part, it's a good ride. It's a good take. You can fly in, drive in, however you want to get there, take the train. But if you have a medical, if you've got any kind of medical question, you go to a doctor and gives you something, or she gives you something for information, you're not sure. I don't like the way that sounds. So you go to Ken. 352-735-1400. I practice what I preach. Ken certainly does. So if you like his bedside manner on the radio, you probably like visiting with him, and I'm happy to encourage you to do that. Call his office at Lake Cardiology, Ken Kronhaus, 352-735-1400. We're back at our list of the things that Ken has studied this week from the medical journals. Vitamin D. Man, there isn't much time that grows between, what is it, don't have any... grass growing under our feet when it comes to information about vitamin D supplements and whether they're legit or they aren't legit. How do you know if you're getting good vitamin D supplements, and what do they do?
Vitamin D, there's just seems like there's just another week goes by where there's just more good news about vitamin D. This comes out of the Lancet Respiratory Medicine Journal this week, that people with asthma who take vitamin D supplements alongside their usual medication, Doug, they're 50% less likely to visit the emergency department or require hospital admission as a result of an asthma attack. Vitamin D supplementation is linked to a reduction in the need for steroid injections or steroid tablets following an asthma attack. So if you have asthma, make sure you're talking to your doctor about vitamin D.
What's anaphylactic shock?
Anaphylactic shock is something you never, ever want to experience, I hope.
I think I experienced it the other night. That's why I'm asking. I haven't told the story yet, but go ahead.
You were in the emergency room?
Nope, didn't go. I doubt
you did.
All right, so maybe I didn't have it. Somebody suggested I did.
Anaphylaxis is an overwhelming, severe allergic reaction where your throat tightens up, your blood pressure goes low, and unless you're given, that's where you need those EpiPens. And that's where you need an injection of steroids also. And unless that is done emergently, you won't survive.
All right, so here's what happened. This is a lesson.
I doubt you had anaphylaxis.
Well, tell me what I had. I'm going to describe what went on, and then we'll figure it out. I had a piece of glutenized pizza. I was tempted by it. I ate a piece, came home, bad indigestion. So I did what I usually do. Cap full of apple cider vinegar. And as it went down, whatever happened, I don't know what I did, because I've done it 100 times if I've done it once. And it takes care of the indigestion. But what happened that night, I either put it in too fast, I was breathing wrong, whatever. And it burned, it stopped, or something happened, and I coughed and choked. I couldn't catch my breath. I couldn't breathe for about 30 seconds.
You
aspirated. I was really scared. I was scared.
You aspirated, yeah. Doug.
Is that what it was?
Yes.
And since then, my throat's been raw and sore, although it's much better today than it was. But So I aspirated. That's what
correct.
I did.
Yeah. If you know, the pathway between the stomach and the airway goes commonly through the throat. Mm-hmm. What you breathe and what you drink or eat, you swallow through your throat. And then hopefully the food goes down into the stomach and intestines, and the air goes into the lungs.
Yeah.
And isn't it amazing how the body organizes that pathway?
Yeah, it is.
From one common path, the throat. Yeah. And when that doesn't occur properly, that correct filtering, you can get what shouldn't be in the lungs or what shouldn't be in the GI tract. And when food gets into the lungs, that's aspiration.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and it's
it was
not
very
pretty.
Uncomfortable.
It can cause pneumonia and infections
breathe.
And make you feel lousy.
Yep. Well, I'm fine now, but I didn't like it that night, I'll tell you that. This is Good Day Health. I'm Doug Steffen, practicing without a license. We kid about that. I have a lot of experience, and I pay attention to my body and my health. And that's why, if I can say this without sounding smug, this makes for a good arena, because you got an expert like Ken and an expert like Jack, and they have their ability through their experiences to tell you what their education as well, to tell you what's going on with you. And so there are lots of different things we encounter every week. There are all kinds of maladies that are a part of living in the world in 2017. Some things been around for a long time, some things are new. And what I like about Ken that's so cool is he looks at all these journals to sort of update himself and then update you on what the ramifications are of the information that's there. How does it make your living in the world of 2017 better? How do you adjust to things? For example, there's a study on preventing depression that's out this week with a fairly easy way to avoid it, as I understand it, Ken.
Yeah, this is a really nice bit of personal lifestyle that we can all add to our agendas. And I just want to make a comment. You were mentioning you aspirated, you almost choked. And this is why, if you have someone around you, you should make sure that both of you know the Heimlich maneuver so you don't choke and die from aspiration, which apparently Doug came close to. So make sure that Meredith knows how to do a Heimlich maneuver.
We weren't together. I was at my house. She was at her house.
So you were alone.
Or she wasn't there. I was alone.
All right,
so,
well.
Yeah.
911.
Yeah. Well, I figured I'd work my way out of it.
Fortunately.
And I did. Yeah.
And remember, if you can hear yourself talk, then you know the airway's open. So if somebody's choking, ask them to speak. If you can't hear any words, they're in trouble.
Right.
Moving right along.
Yes.
Let's talk about the news out of the American Journal of Psychiatry this week.
Please.
This is wonderful. And you know what my favorite drug is? Exercise. And this goes along with that. As little as 1 hour of exercise each week, Doug, regardless of intensity, can help to prevent depression. Even relatively small amounts of exercise from 1 hour per week can deliver significant protection against depression.
Really? Significant. An hour of exercise.
Exactly.
Why wouldn't you do that for all of the right reasons? This is just one of them.
And if you have not been in an exercise program before, just talk to your doctor before initiating one. But there's no reason why all of us, especially if after talking to your doctor, can't do at least 1 hour of any kind of exercise per week.
Yep. No, you have to, as they say, you got to do it. All right. Next up in the, this is a blast. Listen to this. If you are around. You got your dog. We all love our dogs. So look out for puppy poop, apparently. What's going on with all these people that are affected by being around the poop? And what causes the infection? I guess that would be my question.
Let's talk about this. From the CDC this week, Doug, puppies, are, these cute, cuddly puppies are transmitting potentially deadly Campylobacter, a bacterial infection via contaminated poop to the humans who handle them, with 55 people now sickened in an outbreak reaching across 12 states. Puppies sold through Petland are a likely source of this outbreak, but it can occur with any of them. Campylobacter, it's a bacteria that causes people to develop diarrhea, sometimes bloody, cramping, abdominal pain, and fever within 2 to 5 days of exposure to the organism. The illness, it typically lasts, Doug, about a week without treatment. But for people with compromised immune systems, Campylobacter infections can be life-threatening. Most cases in humans occur from eating raw or undercooked chicken or eating foods that have been cross-contaminated by infected poultry products.
So the crap that is in some of this really bad dog food is the culprit. Is that what I'm hearing from you?
If it's contaminated.
Yeah. And there's a lot of that stuff going around. You wouldn't believe. That's why I always bought vegetarian stuff. Charlotte never, at the end of her life, I gave her some meat because I think she needed to have a little more sustenance. But she always did very well on a vegetarian diet. She'd have eggs, and she ate stuff from the table, no question. She'd sit there and look at us, you know, as only she could do. And we'd, you know, she'd get a little of this and some of that. She was good with veggies. She liked carrots, and she liked beans, and she liked broccoli. Mm. But I, the other day, I was talking on the air. Kara remembers this. There was some item that I came across that I wanted to relate because I had the experience. Millie, who's the dog that Meredith and I got after Charlotte died, is a licker. She likes to lick, and Meredith won't let her kiss her, but she kisses me, you know, and she's always cleaning her private parts and stuff, and people say, ah, that's terrible. And I sort of say, that's how I build up my immune system. I give the stuff. But then when I see something like this, I wonder what, and then I go back to thinking about immune systems. And if you have an immune system that's strong and functional and working, then these things are not going to bother you unless they're just, unless there's like worms and stuff like that that's a part of it. Do you agree that that's a really the best way to stave off any of all of this stuff is to have a strong immune system?
There are zoonotic, not to get into the weeds, there are zoonotic illnesses, and these are illnesses that are transmitted from animal to human.
Yeah. But if I was going to get them, I've been around cows all my life, and there's certainly things about them that might not be clean. I mean, I've had cows with their big, rough tongues kiss my side of my face, or they've chewed on my hair, or, you know, any kind of stuff. And I'm around manure all the time, and I don't hesitate if there's something like I had a piece of equipment in the field the other day that I had to pick up, and the cows had been around, and they pooped on the end of the tongue that I had to hook up into the back of my truck, and I just picked it up and put it on the truck and wiped my hands off of my pants.
For so, you, it seems like it has worked.
Yeah. Right.
And but I think you have to deal with this again on a personal basis.
Well, but I think the idea
here, you've been around it your whole life.
Right. But the puppy stuff and the bad food and other things that maybe there's common sense involved with.
But in fact, what the CDC put out with this report to prevent catching Campylobacter from dogs, they're actually recommending that you wash your hands thoroughly after touching dogs, their poop, or their food, and taking extra care that children wash their hands carefully after playing with puppies or dogs, pick up and dispose of dog poop, especially in areas where children might play, and to contact your veterinarian if you notice any signs of illness in your puppy or dog.
Huh. Well, that's always good. You need to keep your dog should have a physical every year like you do. Like
yes.
We do. I like every single person needs to know what's going on in his or her body. Your dog, your cat, your pet can't know, or they can't actually. I mean, there's a way that they can tell you they don't feel well. That's for sure. But then you need to know what's going on in their body. They deserve to have a regular yearly inspection, a health inspection, a health exam.
But do kids wash their hands after touching every dog every time? I mean, that's what the CDC
Chris,
is saying.
Yeah, that's nuts. My grandson, Megan has two poodles, And this, and Miles has grown up around these poodles. The poodles knock him over. They lick him. They kiss him. He pulls their, I mean, just they just are used to each other, and there's no fear on either side. And so, yeah, is he fleas, if the dogs have fleas or something, yeah, kids get that. They walk around the dry Southern California climate. They all go on walks together. The family, the three of them plus the two dogs, they go on walks and hikes almost every day up in the mountains because they live right underneath the stadium, Dodger Stadium. And so they take walks up there all the time down into the park on the other side. And, yeah, who knows what is out there. I know one thing in California you don't get is ticks. I wonder about here on the East Coast. Damn, those ticks are. I get them. I've had them not so much now this time of year, but earlier in the year, the dogs have them. And I don't see those out there for whatever the reason. But plenty of other things flying around. So just be smart about your dog. And but the other side of this is, and let me put a plug in for Balance of Nature products that are. These are the new standard for people trying to build up their immune system, Ken. Fruits and vegetables together in a capsule that come to you with no synthetics, no additives, no fillers. There are 10 servings, the nutritional equivalent of 10 servings of fruits and vegetables. Isn't it? Who is it that says, the CDC or whoever says, you got to have X number of servings of fruits and vegetables a day? What's that number? Is it 6 or 7 or something like
six.
That? 5 to 6. And who gets them? Do you know anybody who has 5 to 6 other than me? No, seriously. I mean, I eat 6, 7, 8 different kinds of fruits every day, but that's because I like them. Who really consciously has that number of fruits and veggies?
It's a challenge.
Yeah. So having the fruits and vegetables and the benefit of them increase or boost your immune system by 720%. You want to do that? Want to get on the bandwagon? Balanceofnature.com. Use the promo code DJV. Balanceofnature.com and get a free month supply of the right amount of fruits and vegetables. This is all. There's nothing in these, as I said, no synthetics, no additives, no fillers. It's just the pure powdered fruits and vegetables in these capsules. Take them in the morning and at night, and you will have a very strong immune system. So they say, try it out. Balanceofnature.com. Use the code DJV. Get the first month free. Balanceofnature.com. All right. One of the things that I forgot to mention to you, Ken, as a cardiologist, it is World Heart Week, an international campaign to spread awareness about heart disease and stroke prevention. The World Heart Federation has found that heart disease and stroke, world's leading cause of death, 17 million people a year, more than victims of cancer, HIV, AIDS, and malaria put together. That's pretty damning, isn't it? 17 million people a year. And one would wonder, some of it is not preventable because it's hereditary, but it is how you live. But how much of that, how many of those people who die would not if they heeded your advice?
It's been said that 80% of heart disease could be prevented by lifestyle.
Yeah. Yep. It's really. So what did you hear or do you know about this $200,000 a year drug that prevents heart attacks, but it could lead to fatal infections? Something I saw featured in an article in the Boston Globe that came out of the New England Journal of Medicine entitled Anti-Inflammatory Therapy with something I can't pronounce, C-A-N-A-C-I-N-U-M-A-B.
Right. Or, no, I know what you're talking about. This came out of the European Society of Cardiology meeting, a big study looking at an anti-inflammatory, one of these high-tech drugs. And what it showed was that, in fact, inflammation is important to in the development of plaquing, because we talk about development of plaque, hardening of the arteries, and it's due to excess fat and calcium, but also inflammation. And we have never really tested this theory by giving a very powerful anti-inflammatory, much stronger than you can get over the counter, which really tamps down the immune system. And what was seen was that, in fact, it did help somewhat with the inflammation in the plaquing, but it didn't help much overall in all-cause life and death mortality. So stay tuned. It's not yet going to change what we do, but it just supports the hypothesis of how we do it.
Here's something that all of you should pay close attention, very close attention to. In fact, an answer to the question, could skipping breakfast feed heart disease?
This comes out of the Journal of the American College of Cardiology this week, Doug, that middle-aged adults who routinely skip breakfast, they're more likely to have clogged heart arteries than those who enjoy a big morning meal. People who eat breakfast, especially a hearty one, are less likely to harbor plaques in their arteries. Skipping breakfast, it may have a negative effect on appetite-regulating hormones, blood sugar, and insulin. And prior studies have shown that breakfast fans are less likely to be obese or have diabetes.
So why would that be? What is there about the first meal of the day that contributes to all those good things that you just ran through?
Well, I guess I did it too quickly because I explained it. It affects appetite-regulating hormones, blood sugar, and insulin.
So the reason I would use myself as a guinea pig here, you've never found any plaque in any of my arteries going in and out of the heart. The only place you found plaque is in the carotid artery, so the rest of my body is clean. I wonder if that's because I have breakfast every day, and it's mostly fruit, although the ladies tease me because the fruit that I am ingesting is sugary, has its own fructose in it, and so they think maybe there are other things that I ought to be eating beside the usual bill of fare, all the berries that I have and the melons that I have and you know, that sort of thing.
Doug, the development of hardening of the arteries, plaque throughout the body in the 60,000 miles of circulation you have in the body, this is not just one thing that causes it. There are many factors, and breakfast is just another factor, but cigarettes, blood pressure, blood sugar, weight, genetics, all of these things, stress, not getting enough exercise, diet in general, all of these things contribute to the development of plaquing, the number one killer of Americans' heart attack, the number one disabler strokes. And this is just another one, eating breakfast. So it's a whole handful of lifestyle that can help you prevent it.
Right. All right. As long as we're in the same department here, your expertise in heart disease has led you to prescribe statins for a lot of your patients over the years as they've gotten better. And now comes news that using statins could prevent fatal blood infections. How's that work?
It's always exciting when there's added benefits to the treatments that we know are effective for one thing and it turns out to be effective for more than one thing. This comes out of Mayo Clinic proceedings this week, Doug, that Staphylococcus aureus, it's a bacteria that is simultaneously part of our normal gut flora, but can also cause disease and even death. In fact, Staphylococcus aureus, which is also known as Staph, is the leading cause of infection of the bloodstream and bacterial infections of the heart. Once Staph reaches the bloodstream, the infection can be fatal. But this new research suggests that taking statins, yes, those medications commonly used to prevent heart disease, may prevent the risk of a Staph infection of the bloodstream by almost a third.
All right. So as long as we're talking about blood, talking about the heart, those things that are important and necessary, obviously, for us to have a good, healthy, happy life, the blood flow, the breakthrough of the century. You talk about this back in the 80s, the discovery with the Nobel Prize winning research that brought us around to understanding nitric oxide and the results of having nitric oxide in your body. Here's a thumbs up from Ken as to what that's all about.
Well, there's a third important gas in the body. We know about oxygen and carbon dioxide, and our kids are going to read it in the textbook soon about this third gas, nitric oxide. Because if we don't have enough nitric oxide, Doug, and we don't continuously remake nitric oxide, whole body doesn't function well. This is a signaling molecule from head to toe. It helps the blood vessels that we've been talking about relax, stay nice and soft, open up and let the red cells carrying oxygen from head to toe give energy. If you don't have enough nitric oxide, the body won't work well.
All right, get it in Super Beats. Get Super Beats by calling 800-655-4183. Order yours now on the advice of Dr. Ken. Super Beats.